With just 1 week to go before presidential elections in the United States, voters are being bombarded with the political agendas of both Democrats and Republicans, with issues such as the economy, Iraq, and health care taking the lead in political debates. But the associate director of the U.S. Bishop's Office for Pro-Life Activities says Catholic voters should also consider the candidate's record on stem cell research. Richard Doerflinger explains to Emer McCarthy why now is the time for a dose of reality.
Because it was just about 10 years ago that American researchers first managed to isolate human embryonic stem cells, which they said were going to provide a sort of royal road to all kinds of advances and even cures of devastating diseases. And in fact, November of 1998 was the first congressional hearing in which lawmakers began to call for, in our country, for federal funding of this research, even though it involved destroying live human embryos for their stem cells. And the people at that hearing, the scientists and the politicians, were predicting that within 5 years, but certainly within 10 years, we would be seeing tremendous progress toward curing diseases using these cells. And so it's fair enough to go back and say, well, what has worked out in terms of this promise? Were these predictions hype, or were they based in reality? What do we know now that we did not know then?
What do we know now that we didn't know then?
What we know now about human embryonic stem cells is that they are much more difficult to work with and to turn into any use in human beings than people originally imagined. They are very prone to growing uncontrollably and causing tumors in laboratory animals. And now the researchers are talking about not one decade, but maybe several decades and maybe never until these cells are actually used in any treatment. In the meantime, other avenues of stem cell research, especially stem cells from adult tissues of various kinds and from umbilical cord blood from newborn babies, have moved forward to prove to be extremely useful in therapies. And some of those trials have now begun to reverse terrible diseases in human patients in clinical trials. And some of them are moving toward, well, some of them already are in widespread clinical use for cancers and leukemia and are moving quickly toward treating many other diseases. And so the dose of reality is, let us look now at the avenues of stem cell research that are really moving quickly toward treating human disease. And it turns out that they are the avenues that were dismissed as less useful by the embryonic stem cell researchers may turn out to be the avenues that there's really no moral or ethical problem with as well.
Let's look at the moral and ethical problems of stem cell research. It isn't just across the board, is it? It's far more complex to the layperson who perhaps is not scientifically minded or not familiar with the scientific terms. Why are some areas of stem cell research definitely not ethically or morally acceptable, and others are?
Well, the question is really not so much what is the kind of stem cell you're using, but what is it you have to do to a human being, to a member of the human species, in order to get these cells? At this early stage of the one-week-old embryo, the way these cells are obtained is by literally taking apart that embryo and reducing it to these disorganized cells. So you're taking a very early developing human life and killing that for its spare parts. At a later age, the fetal stage, there are some researchers who want to use fetal stem cells. They don't actually, in general, they don't kill the unborn child for those cells, but they wait for an abortion to take place, and then they're complicit with that abortion and using that material afterwards. But once you get to dealing with stem cells from that are a byproduct of live birth, cord blood that is ordinarily just thrown away as a byproduct of a live birth of a baby, or obtaining stem cells from human adult patients, there are no ethical problems. They can be obtained without doing harm. They can even be obtained in some cases from people who have died, and so you could have a donation of stem cells from a cadaver in much the same way that people now donate organs. And so those avenues do not pose a moral problem, and those stem cells from adult and cord blood tissues are proving to be extremely useful, and in some cases not to raise the safety issues that embryonic stem cells raise. And in addition to that, scientists are now finding that they are much more capable than they once thought of reprogramming ordinary adult cells into acting very much like embryonic stem cells. There's been an advance pioneered by researchers in Wisconsin in the U.S. and also in Japan that shows ordinary adult cells with the addition of a couple of genes can be turned into cells that act very much like embryonic stem cells, so that if there is any special use to those very versatile embryonic stem cells that can't be pursued in other ways, we even have ways to pursue that in ways that don't destroy or harm anyone. And there is, in addition, there are new studies claiming that ordinary adult cells can be reprogrammed directly into other kinds of adult cells that are needed, for example, for possible treatment of juvenile diabetes. So science has moved on past this fixation, if you will, with embryonic stem cells and is finding many different ways to pursue medical progress that don't raise the moral problem at all.
It's a very interesting point that you bring up there. I mean, you spoke about safety issues surrounding stem cell research. Could you just tell us a little bit more about what those safety issues are? I mean, often enough in the debate surrounding stem cell research, we more often than not find that people are divided into two very diametrically opposed camps. Those who think that scientific progress should never be impeded because it's for the good of humanity, and those who, of course, fear an almost Frankenstein evolution of the human species because of mad scientists playing with genetics in a laboratory. Where does the church stand on this? Because a lot of the time, people will attack the church saying it's against scientific progress straight down the line.
And that's so misleading that, in fact, this new advance, this reprogramming of adult cells to act like embryonic cells, that advance, the first time I saw a live presentation about it by the scientist who discovered it, was at a conference co-sponsored by the Pontifical Academy for Life in Rome on stem cell research, that the church was greeting this new scientific advance before many others were, and the secular scientists had to catch up later because they were so obsessed with the embryonic stem cells, they weren't looking at what science was doing in other ways. So the church's opposition is not to science, it's to harming innocent human beings in the name of science. And the dangers of embryonic stem cell research go beyond dangers to the embryo. There are dangers to human patients who might end up getting tumors from having these unspecialized cells put into them. There are also dangers because some of the scientists, in seeking to get embryonic stem cells that are genetically matched to patients, that will not be rejected as foreign tissue, are pursuing the idea of cloning human embryos for their stem cells. That requires a very large supply of women's eggs. And so researchers are trying to solicit women as egg donors, and the process of obtaining large numbers of eggs from women require the use of potentially dangerous fertility drugs that some women have died from. And so they're endangering women as well in the urge to get these eggs to make embryos for stem cell research. So it is not, it doesn't stop with the embryo. The research is endangering the lives of born people as well.
Scientific research into cures for diseases which have plagued mankind for so long, for incurable diseases which have brought so much sorrow to so many families, it really is a huge industry, not only in the United States, but also in other major developing countries. Does a lot of the lobby pro-embryonic stem cell research, would it be true to say that a lot of this is funded by these huge companies, these pharmaceutical companies, which are constantly, almost aggressively pushing research in any direction to get whatever results?
I think that's absolutely true. And even the academic scientists now have many very close ties to very wealthy biotechnology companies that are for-profit companies. In Missouri, for example, where the voters ended up passing a ballot initiative to support stem cell research, embryonic stem cell research and cloning, they were very misled by a huge media campaign that was funded almost entirely by people running biotechnology companies and foundations who poured almost $30 million into this one political campaign to affirm this kind of research. We have to understand there's an economic bias here, too, because if adult stem cell research ends up producing treatments for terrible diseases, taking a patient's own stem cells and modifying them or expanding them and then putting them back in the same patient is the kind of thing that will go straight into clinical practice, maybe without making any money for a biotechnology company. What the companies want is something they can market as a product, something they can bottle and sell and patent. And that model is much more conducive to looking at embryonic stem cells, where obviously you've killed the donor who could demand any rights to his own cells, and you don't have this direct use of a patient's own cells. So it's a bias in this field as well that embryonic stem cells look more attractive as a business model, whether they end up being better as treatments or not.
Yes, indeed. Your answer there goes some way to explaining why stem cell research should be an issue on voters' minds as they head to the voting box this November to elect the next president of the United States. But speaking to voters from the point of view as the expert there in the USCCB on stem cell research, can you just reiterate why we need to sit down and seriously consider biotechnology and stem cell research as an issue during the elections? And also perhaps talk to us about the various political points of view regarding stem cell research.
Yes, well, at present, the United States taxpayers are not being forced to help pay for research that requires destroying human embryos for their stem cells, and that's because of the president's policy. Congress has tried to pass bills to override that, but the president has vetoed those. And so the next president has to decide whether to keep that policy in place or whether to go along with the majority in Congress and force the taxpayers to fund the destruction of very early human life in the name of research. Or the next president could decide to press for expanded funding for morally acceptable stem cell research that everyone supports and is actually proving to be more promising. In terms of the current presidential candidates, both of the candidates claim to support funding of embryonic stem cell research beyond President Bush's policy. One of those candidates, Mr. McCain, is against cloning embryos for research, and Mr. Obama is not against that. So there are some differences in terms of the enthusiasm for the agenda, but at this point, both candidates seem to be inclined to go toward funding embryonic stem cell research. And one interesting question is whether, in the meantime, science may actually move on in with these other alternatives to the extent that the embryonic stem cells can be seen as largely obsolete, and that you know the political figures would recognize that.
Richard Doerflinger is the Associate Director of the U.S. Bishop's Office for Pro-Life Activities.